I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 18th, 2026. There's nothing more important when you're trying to do things the way that I'm doing them than credibility. In fact, there's nothing more important in your entire life than credibility and your reputation for being able to keep your word. Everybody's going to screw up sometimes. Everybody's going to break their word sometimes, but you have to make corrections for that. And this video is going to be dedicated to credibility, because every time I highlight who is and who isn't credible at this time when it comes to the Middle East, I get accused of taking sides. I get accused of believing one side more than the other side. What I'm actually doing is I'm looking at the physical realities. I'm looking at who says something and then does it. I'm looking at how ships are transiting. I'm looking at the location of physical assets. I'm looking at how things have gone in a kinetic way back and forth for both sides. And I've come to the conclusion that the Trump administration cannot be trusted in the way that I felt they could be earlier on. I used to say, people who have been with me long enough will know, that the only way to truly understand Donald Trump was to listen to him. Because if you go to the mainstream media, they take everything that he says out of context. And the only way to fully understand the fullness of his comments was to listen to the man himself. It was good advice, at least I thought it was good advice at the time, because the mainstream media spun everything out of context. But now listening to him doesn't bear any fruit, because much of what he says just doesn't come to pass. And I'm not saying that because I hate the man. Far from it. I've made many an argument in the past as to why he was the best hope for the reorganization of the American empire. The United States has a republic. It has an empire as well. It's a republic with an empire. And it's been my feeling for the better part of two decades that the empire's time was coming to an end, and you had to pick your leadership on how they intended to unwind all of it in an orderly way. I've also made the case in my videos that the end of the petrodollar is nigh. May not happen tomorrow, may not happen next month, but the unwind is going to happen in the wake of this war. The unwind was going to happen regardless of whether this war happened or not, because the BRICS is setting up an alternative system, an alternative settlement layer. These things are real. We were entering into a multipolar world, and it was my hope that Donald Trump would have the wisdom, and his administration would have the wisdom to avoid this war and deconstruct things peaceably. Maybe exit NATO. I'm fine with that. If Europe wants to get involved in World War III in Ukraine, I'm perfectly fine with them doing it by themselves and leaving us alone over here. Even though my own government in Canada seems insistent, we've given more aid to the Ukrainian regime per capita than almost any other nation on earth. I don't know why. But the magnet, the gravity of having the United States right beside us, heading in a different direction, it was my belief, would pull us in that direction. And if they had the wisdom to avoid the war, they would be maximally effective. But now there's this quagmire, and I want to give you some insight into my thinking. I wrote this morning. When political identity replaces independent thought, you no longer have a functioning republic. And for those of us who don't have a republic, it's a tragedy to witness. I don't have one. I live under a king. I'm in a constitutional monarchy, tied to the Westminster system. My government is in love with it. The opposition says it's a proud tradition that we should all rally behind, and I don't share their sentiment. I think having an unelected Senate in 2026 is absolute trash. I think the Senate should be modeled, perfectly honestly, on the U.S. system. Every single province should have two senators. You should have the land represented in one chamber. The House of Commons sort of works fine the way it is. Not really when you think about how government functions, but you have a popular assembly. And then you have the executive branch itself, which we should have more control over, because as Canadians, we have no control over our executive branch. The political parties filter the candidates so that by the time they get on a ballot, it doesn't matter who you elect, they've already decided what they're going to do, because the insiders, the people who fund the parties, the people you never see, have already decided what direction they're going to go and what the government's going to be. Your parliamentarians aren't the government. They appoint the government, and before they get into parliament, they know exactly what they're going to do. They have their marching orders. It sucks. So, I cast my eyes upon the Constitution. I cast my eyes upon the structure of the Republic of the United States, the best the world has ever designed, with some envy and with more than a little bit of love. And to have a functional republic, you have to have a core of independent minds. You have to have people who aren't, who have no allegiance, no firm allegiance to one political party or another. They just try to pursue reason and sense, and I believe the people who wrote the Federalist Papers knew that. I believe the people who designed the Republic knew that, and I think we're losing sight of that right now under various cults of personality, including the Trump cult of personality. When I have spoken in the past, people say I've got TDS. It's so ridiculous. It's so weak. It's so narrow. It's so short-sighted. As if all of the favorable things I've said about Trump and the truth and reality behind many of his domestic policies, as if none of that work for 10 years matters. I know it matters. I started filming yesterday. I had about 12 minutes filmed, and then I gave up because I got pounded yesterday. Because I made a mistake yesterday. I shared a picture. I didn't share a link to an article, and that was a big mistake because it was a huge opening for a line of attack, because there's been these reports. Families fume over pathetic meals for American forces in Trump's war. We have the USA Today. If you don't like the Daily Beast, cookies, deodorant, socks. Iran war puts military packages in limbo. Males having a problem. This is before the troops are even committed. They're still aboard ship. There's reports that they're in serious rationing mode. A picture shared by a U.S. Marine deployed on the USS Tripoli of a meal service members on board received. I got attacked for sharing the picture and not sharing the article. And my question is, why am I held to such a high standard? And yet the Trump administration is held to such a low standard. When they start a war that he campaigned on avoiding and says it's going to be over in 1 to 2 days, then says 4 days, then says a week or two, and now I don't even count the days anymore. 50-odd days, I don't even know where we are. We're supposedly in a ceasefire. There's no ceasefire. Lebanon literally shelled, Israel literally shelled Lebanon this morning. The Strait of Hormuz was never really open. It's now closed again because of U.S. piracy. The United States has signaled its intent to board and seize Iranian vessels all over the world. The global police are back in action. The neocons are back in control. And the Iranians are having none of it. They have the high ground. They have the Zagros. They have Iran. They have the people. They have a functional constitutional Islamic Republic. And this is back to the point of credibility. Trump says there's been regime change. It's the same regime. It's the same government. Most of the people that they're dealing with right now were in there, were in control before the war started. It's just a false narrative. And I think, you know, when you're looking at clear logistical issues, we've talked on this channel about, and forgive me, I got a bit of a cold. It's a weird one. It's kind of coming in, but it's super slow. It's been coming in for 3 days. It just doesn't want to commit. It just keeps kind of building like a thunderstorm. At any rate, the clear logistical problems we've talked about in previous videos where you have to pull THAAD systems out of South Korea, leaving Asia undefended. You're pulling assets and troops out of that theater, leaving it weakened because the Iranians have successfully blown up some of your most expensive and complicated interceptor systems. I can't recall from the video, but it was something like 2 or 3 of the batteries, like 40% of the global supply of THAAD batteries is gone. The advanced radar systems that were built into all the bases around the Middle East, maybe not all the bases, several of the bases, particularly the naval base in Bahrain, has been hit. The bases have been abandoned. Troops are living in hotels. The early warning system for Israel has just completely failed because it's blind. It can't see. It can detect the launches, but it can't see where the missiles are coming. So people are getting a minute's warning if they're getting a warning at all. I mean, when you're scrambling assets, because you haven't had a military buildup. You know, to do the Iraq War in 2003 and also in the 1990s, there was a long-term buildup of force. There was a lot of planning. There was a lot of logistical sensitivity that was paid attention to. This thing was supposed to be over in 2 days. I really believe the administration thought they could just go in and poop some of the top people and the Iranian people would just revolt, as if they hadn't looked at the situation, how they had protests, which they now admit were fomented by Mossad and the CIA. Trump said they gave them weapons. They got arrested. Something like 7,000 got shot. That's the most reliable number. But if you, I bet you we're up to 50 or 55,000 now, because it used to be 30, then it was 35, then it's 40, then it's 45,000. Keep trying to inflate the number of Iranians that were killed by the regime. It's a much more complex story than that. But that attempt at revolt was violently repressed, and they were left to flounder on their own. There was no support. There was a delay in the bombing campaign. And it was obvious to a guy sitting in Saskatchewan in his bunker that it wasn't going to go down smooth like that. At any rate, I'm digressing into the past. So I want to talk about consistency. This is Scott Bessent, Trump's LGBTQ champion, who is handling the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Anyway, U.S. will not renew sanction waivers on Russian or Iranian oil, Bessent says. This is from April 15th. We will not be renewing the general license on Russian oil, and we will not be renewing the general license on Iranian oil. That was oil that was on the water prior to March 11th, so all that has been used. 2 days later, Trump administration extends sanctions waiver for Russian oil despite previous claim it would not. Folks, these are the things that diminish your credibility. Trump came out and manipulated the markets yet again yesterday. I don't know how you couldn't see it. My whole video segment that I filmed yesterday was dedicated to, once again, this is just market manipulation. But I was over on X, and I made the mistake of reading comments. And once again, I set a new record for being called retard, or some variation of that theme, in 1 day, over the logistical concern of the food. And I'm just like, people, who am I reaching? Like, what's even the point? Over and over and over and over again, I can display the facts, and I can put the facts together, and I can put it together in a video, and I can tweet about the facts. The cult always wins, man. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because I'm watching people circle a burning wagon. They're catching on fire themselves. I am trying to provide water to put the thing out and maybe save it, because it's my wagon too, in a way. I've been around for 10 years. I've been around since the June 5th escalator ride. I've watched this whole thing evolve. I was critical of warp speed. Well, all the Q bots were out there saying, you know, the 2020 election, it wasn't really lost. Trump is still in control. And then Biden came in and did all of these things and flooded the countries with illegals, and they claimed that it had to be done that way so that the American public would see. Live action role play. The facts speak for themselves. It's like, it doesn't matter. The facts actually matter. So once again, a bunch of shorts were opened in the wee hours of the morning. Trump comes out and he says, we got a deal. We're going to get the enriched uranium. We're going to do all this thing. We're going to go in with the Iranians. We're going to go in. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be big. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be so big. We're going to get a deal. We're going to get it done. I'm getting so sick of it. Trump lied 7 times in 1 hour, Iran's top negotiator. And you know why they can say that is they're a party to the negotiations. So when Trump makes these big, bold claims about what they've got the Iranians agreeing to, they can come out and just simply say, no, we don't agree with that. And we never agreed with that. So on a point-by-point basis, they went through on social media all of the things that Trump got wrong. And it's black and white. And every time Trump does this, he loses a little bit more credibility. MAGA picks up more headwinds going into November. Do you understand how much trouble the Republican Party is in? Circling the burning wagon is not helping put out the fire. You're essentially standing with your back to the wagon while you're catching on fire, fighting people who are trying to dump water on it. The whole thing's going to burn. And when it does, the world is in a darker place. Saying that doesn't make me a Democrat operative or a carny liberal. I'm just telling you the truth. It's about consequences. It's about a predictable chain of events. When the famine starts to kick in, and they can lay that at the feet of Trump, when the United States military is left denuded and weakened, because here's the other thing. I firmly believe that at the expiration of the ceasefire, especially after what's happened today, the Iranians have fired on another tanker, forced them to turn around. Traffic is still at a standstill in the supposedly open strait. I don't know where the mine-clearing operation, the U.S. military, like, it's not even the U.S. military, forgive me, I'm not going to blame them for this. Trump said the Iranians and the Americans are working together to clear the mines. Where's that? Where do you see that? Because the Iranians are saying if any American vessel tries to sail through the strait, we'll shoot them. They successfully threatened off the last set of vessels that tried to go through. American air power, aircraft carriers, are stuck 500 miles out in the water because they can't get nearby. And if the Iranians are capable of firing on a tanker, I guess they still have naval assets. That's just another thing. Trump says they have no navy. They clearly have a navy because the Americans are scared of it. They didn't sail the George H.W. Bush down through the Red Sea gap. They sent it around South Africa. They took the long way. Why? Because they'll get shot. It's just the physical, kinetic reality exposes the lie. And I don't know if it's just, I don't know if Trump is divorced from reality because he's not getting the right reports. I don't know if he knows he's lying. He's trying to do some clever obfuscation of his plans, or if he thinks he can just secure enough of his base that will never criticize anything he does. They'll never stop. They'll keep their backs to the burning wagon. They will never ask questions about the light flickering that they see on the back of the cave wall as to where that light's coming from. Maybe he thinks that's enough. It's not going to be enough. The independents who really didn't want this war, they're not going, at the worst, they vote Democrat. Best case scenario, they just stay home or they vote independent where that's an option. Like, it's really bad. And the loss of credibility, the loss of prestige, was completely and totally unavoidable. This is from Martin Armstrong. No one wants war, but no one wants to think either. Mindless sheep exist on both wings of the bird. I often criticize the Democrats for their far-left views, but we are now witnessing the dark side of blind party politics. The latest headlines surrounding Megyn Kelly's stating, she would remain loyal to the Republican Party even if Trump dropped a nuke on another country. That is the collapse of independent thought. When you step back and look at the broader data, the American people themselves are not aligned with this type of blind loyalty. Poll after poll shows the opposite. A CNN poll, and I know it's CNN. A CNN poll found that 50... Props to CNN for sending a crew to Iran during the war. Because unlike the Israelis, unlike the Gulf Cooperation countries, unlike the United States military bases that closed all access to media, that kicked media out of the Pentagon, that prevent social media posts that will put you in jail and destroy your life, the Israelis in particular, if you post video of missiles hitting the ground or you post video of the damage that they have sustained, they'll put you in jail. The Iranians are like, yeah, come on in. Come on in. They invited them in and CNN sent a crew and filmed it. And these Iranians, who have been under sanctions for decades, show remarkable adaptivity. They still had fully stocked store shelves. People were still getting fuel. Admittedly, this was a while ago. The situation could be a little different now. One thing I can guarantee, though, is every single day you're seeing more video of Iranians rallying in support of their government, something that would have been unheard of 2 months ago. The regime is stronger. The regime is more hardline because the Israelis worked very hard to make sure that all the moderates got killed because they don't want a settlement. They want the United States to invade Iran. They want that regime brought down one way or another, and they're committed to making sure the Americans can't get out. There's only one thing for the United States to do. The same thing they did in Afghanistan, the same thing they did in Vietnam. Walk away. Walk away, because at the end, after all the years and time and treasure and loss of prestige that those conflicts brought, in the end, they just walked away. They need to just walk away from this thing and accept the vast quantities of political damage that are already done. It's already baked in. I said weeks ago it had to end in a couple days. I actually meant it. The political damage is far-reaching. This isn't as simple as opening the strait and fixing everything. The damage to the global economy is baked in. There's no reversing it now. The only thing that can happen is it gets worse. It's going to take months, probably years, to work out the backlogs that have been caused by the last 2 months of conflict. A CNN poll found that 59% of Americans disapprove of military action against Iran. Reuters Ipsos polling showed 27% supported strikes, 27% supported strikes, well, far more opposed them. Another CNN survey shows just 34% approve of the war, with two-thirds believing there is no clear plan. Meanwhile, 75% oppose sending ground troops. Even more striking, a CBS poll found 92% of Americans believe the war should end as quickly as possible, so the people are not demanding war. The media, on the other hand, is fueled by partisan politics. Instead of thoughtful debate, we are seeing ideological entrenchment where individuals align themselves with a party to the point that they are unwilling to question anything that comes from their side. This is not confined to one party. There was a comment on the website. By the way, that's another thing that's been going on. My website is under constant attack right now. Like, thousands of attacks a day. And hundreds of attempts to log in. They don't even get the username right. Like, they're really trying, though. And like, IP after IP after IP getting blocked. And those attacks are coming from Iraq, Kuwait, the UAE, the GCC countries. Not Iran. Israel, the United States. There's other things going on that I don't want to say because I don't want to give anybody any ideas. But it's crazy. And there was a comment on the website. And it was a fella, he was sharing a link to something. I haven't watched it yet. But he said, you know, nobody has immolated their audience quite the way you have, Frank. I have a lot of respect for the fact that you're just calling it the way you see it and you don't really care about the consequences. And it's true. I mean, we're down hundreds of followers. We're down hundreds of subscribers at a time when I've spent a great deal of money to get set up for the years to come and to make sure that I can keep doing this in the event that the war doesn't stop, in the event that there's a huge supply disruption of technology. Like, I was genuinely panicking that I wouldn't be able to function at a high level. And by the way, I engaged in another piece of fake news. I said it was the last video with my old lighting setup. And I've got the two new lights, and I'm still using one of the old lights. So I might have to get more lighting. And for those who are saying that LEDs are going to kill me, I don't know how I'm supposed to light a green screen with incandescent bulbs. Do you know how hot it would be in here? Do you know how many thousands of watts I would need to properly light a green screen with an incandescent setup? I don't even know how that would work. I'm going to have to risk my warm LEDs and some fluorescent lighting to make sure that I can keep lighting my green screen properly. There's just nothing I can do. I thought you were smarter than that, Frank. Man. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about credibility here. Here's the article. U.S. prepares to board Iran-linked ships globally following Iranian gunboat attack on tanker in Hormuz. Two Iranian gunboats. Gunboats! Naval assets. They're not supposed to have them, right? Open fire on a tanker near Oman. Look at a map. Look at where Oman is. It's a little bit outside the straits. So they're navally effective at keeping the United States out of not just the Strait of Hormuz, but out of the Gulf of Oman, and they're able to fire at tanker traffic there. Second tanker hit by unknown projectile. India summons Iranian ambassador to condemn. And that's another thing. China's not as desperate as these people, these sycophants, say. When it comes to oil supplies, first off, they have vast strategic, deep strategic reserves. They also have a lot of optionality as to where they can purchase oil from. They're going to be fine. India, on the other hand, ostensibly a U.S. ally, is desperate. They have days left. They don't have a lot of time to screw around. They need oil from wherever they can get it. That's the reality. China is cool. They might want this war to be over with. For sure, they do. They would like to retain the cheap supply that they were getting from Iran. The old situation benefited them well, but these people who are just like, oh, China's being choked off. There's an R word that I would like to use. It is so naive. I mean, if you want to, you don't want to believe Frank, because I always get the, why would I believe some guy from Western Canada? You know, you're an idiot. You haven't been in the military. You're not an oil expert. You don't know anything about logistics. You know, as if I can't read books and think with my own head. Listen to Pepe Escobar talk about the logistics of oil as relates to the Chinese. They're fine. They're fine. This whole Machiavellian, Promethean action, 2CTV, Tom Luongo nonsense about fighting the British Empire, it is live action role play that just covers up the reality, which is the tail is wagging the dog. Israel is calling the shots. It wasn't Trump who Vance was calling during the Islamabad negotiations. It was Netanyahu. And saying that doesn't make me an anti-Semite. That's the other weak sauce thing that constantly comes up. You criticize the Israeli government and the actions of that government, and you're an anti-Semite. Stop being so weak. Stop being so pathetic. It doesn't work anymore. And the more you double down on it, the more you're creating actual anti-Semitism, which you will not find here. You're building it. The things that are being done in Lebanon are creating anti-Semites every single day. People who just, because we're surrounded by them on the left and on the right, simple minds that can't grasp complex thoughts. They can't stitch all the pieces together. They want slogans. They want simplicity. They want cult-like mantras. And hate's always been an easy one. That's why we recognize it as such. Every single leveled. I mean, I don't know how people aren't looking at the leveled hospitals, the leveled schools, the absolute destruction, entire villages wiped off the map that's happening in Lebanon right now. At the behest of the Israeli government, not the Jews, the Israeli government, the Netanyahu government, which is criticized by people in the Knesset, the opposition groups that aren't happy, the people of Israel who are not happy. They do exist. Pentagon prepared to expand anti-vessel action. Signals prepared to board Iran-linked ships globally. Friday, Hormuz is open. Saturday, Hormuz is closed. Just long enough to lock in shorts. Maybe you should open longs before Monday, if you can. As early as you can, open a long, because I think it's going to be a tough week. Trump, Iran wanted to close up the strait again, but they can't blackmail us. They seem to be in control and doing just fine. What is Trump doing? He's destroying his credibility. And then we have Polymarket, which is now embedded in every single thing. You go from 75% convinced. Sorry, yeah, 70% convinced that the Strait of Hormuz traffic returns to normal by the end of April to 26% in what, a 24-hour period? This doesn't mean anything. You know, it's funny. We were talking about markets this morning on X. I was talking with somebody. I can't remember the context. Doesn't really matter. And I said, it's all crypto now. It's the cryptoification of everything. It's all degeneracy. If you can trade it with your Robinhood app, or you can trade it on your phone, if you can trade it on your computer, it's just degenerate speculation. The conversion of real assets into just idle daily speculation. It's all GameStop. We treat oil that way, we treat silver that way, we treat gold that way. It's all fakery. Someday, the real economy is going to assert itself. I would say we're closer to that date today than we were, say, 6 months ago. But 6 months ago, I would have told you we were, and I did tell you because I was making videos about it, I didn't think the United States would be stupid enough to get in this war, of how we were going to arrive at that reassertion of reality, and how the European bankers in the City of London, and how the financial system would come under strain because of the pressure the Trump administration was judiciously trying to apply, dare I say. But all of that power, that soft power that was being deployed, is now being lost in the Persian Gulf. And I get attacked from all sides for saying so. And it doesn't matter how much proof is in the pudding. How much I demonstrate, how much I show. But I can't stop because my hopes and my aspirations are bound up in a pragmatism which includes an even-keeled understanding of just what MAGA America First and what Donald Trump set out to do 10 years ago domestically and how that would favor my views in my own country, my pursuits in my own country. I want to see the cartels busted up, man. I want to see immigration re-examined. You know, I talked on this channel. I guess we're just going to go off today. You know what? Let's just get rid of the browser. Why do we even need it? I talked on this channel about how, you know, Carney's doing some things on immigration. Lowering the population, tightening up some rules, doing some stuff. That's not an endorsement, people. I'm not saying he's a great guy. I've told you all the other things. I've told you about how I think he's here to raid our pensions. I've told you how I think he's here to manage Canada in a direction and how I can't see all the pieces. How I was speculating that it's easy to think he's working for Europe and China, but how there might be some other subtle play going on with the U.S. administration. I think that's way off the table now. I think the Iran war changed all of that. If Carney was fence-sitting, he's now come firmly down on the anti-American side of the fence with wide-ranging consequences for all of us. But a Trump administration actively engaged in dealing with illegal immigration, actively engaged with creating a safe and secure voting system, actively engaged with drying up the drug supply, actively engaged with destroying the cartels everywhere they're found. You know, it's hard for me not. There's a lot of people who complain about the potential of bombing targets in Mexico or the kicking out of China and Latin America through kinetic force. I've said on this channel before how I believe we're moving into a time where the international order is breaking down and might, to an extent, would make right. And the judicious use of military power for limited objectives would be called for and probably serve the greater good. There's nothing judicious about the use of military power in an ad hoc campaign that's been thrown together and cobbled together at the last minute, which is what is happening in Iran. There would be no mad scramble. There would be no redeployment of resources. There would have been a military buildup already. We wouldn't be in a situation right now where the Americans cannot dictate terms. They keep trying to deliver ultimatums and they scratch their heads. I watch these talking heads on the news media and they're just like, we just don't understand why the Iranians can't understand why they're defeated. They just don't get how bad they're beat. Could it be they're not beat? Occam's razor cuts that way. If they were so beat, they'd probably be laying down. And instead of laying down, they're sticking to their demands, which are completely opposite to what the Americans want. So I think, we're already at 33 minutes, I think it's a guaranteed thing, virtually guaranteed. Happy to be wrong. I love being wrong. Let me tell you that hostilities resume at the end of the ceasefire, if not before. I mean, the Israelis are already shelling Lebanon. They called the American inclusion of Lebanon in the ceasefire a slap in the face. Here's the other thing about the Israelis and about this relationship. Gratitude isn't an asset. It's a liability. It's a debt for the majority of people. It's a debt to be purged as soon as possible. When you give people something, don't expect that thanks. In the majority of cases, to be reciprocated or honored down the road. When you give something, treat it as gone and forget that you've done it. It's good to do nice things for people. Don't get me wrong. There's a story about a... And forgive my addled brain. I am rocking a bit of a headache here. There was a... I'm not going to be able to remember his name. A Byzantine emperor who once was in the stables, and a horse was kicking and bucking, and one of the stable boys saved his life, essentially is the story. And he became the friend of the emperor. And so he grew in power and prestige. He was named the head of the king's or the emperor's stables. He became a principal advisor in spite of his lack of experience to the emperor. He became tied to him. He became enthralled with the emperor's money. And the emperor just kept giving. His gratitude was unending because this guy had saved his life. And one day, the emperor was broke. The treasury had been denuded. And his friend, his quote-unquote friend who had saved his life, came along and wanted some money. And the emperor said, "I can't do it. We're broke." Well, long story short, there's more to it than that. But the end of the story is the friend riding through the streets of Constantinople with the emperor's head on the tip of a spear. That's what gratitude does for most people. It is a debt, not an obligation, to be disposed of as quickly as possible. It's not to me. I remember what people do for me. And I remember it's not something I should just throw away. How does it apply to today? For all that American blood and treasure has done for Israel, for decades now, if the Trump administration decides to rein them in and tell them they can't have their way in the Middle East, do not expect gratitude. They will turn on the United States as quickly as they would turn on anybody else. And everything that American treasure and time has bought will be discarded with absolute ingratitude, because that's the way gratitude works, especially when it comes to the affairs of nations. At any rate, to sum up, I think it's going to be an interesting week. I don't think there's going to be a deal. Happy to be wrong, but the Iranians, if you just take the time to listen to what the Iranians are saying, and then you take the time to look at the physical facts on the ground in the region, you'll find out that it is the Trump administration that is blowing smoke, and they've been blowing smoke this entire time, and literally nothing they say can be believed at this point about this conflict. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.